Taking the Next Step by Mark Riccobono. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Mark Riccobono stands at the podium. From the editor, Mark Riccobono became director of the NFB Jernigan Institute in 2004. At the 2014 convention, he was elected to serve as the next president of the National Federation of the Blind. He gave the following address at the NOPBC conference.
And I do come to you this morning to talk to you about taking the next step. And as I do that, I want you to just pause for a moment. And let's just absorb this moment that we're in right now. Let's just absorb this moment and recognize, whether you recognize it or not, you have taken a very important step by being here this morning. And so the first thing is you should pat yourselves on the back for being here with the National Federation of the Blind. Now, some of you already know that because you've been here before, but it's important to remind ourselves that we consciously take this step because it's meaningful to us. And for those who have never been here before, where are the first-timers? Wow. There we go. They got the non-visual down. I like that. You've taken a next step that's very important. And because it's your first step with the National Federation of the Blind, and an important reminder for all of us who have been here before, I want to release you from those steps you've taken before that haven't worked. And during this week, especially our first-timers are going to get frustrated that they screwed it all up before. But don't worry, it's okay. Your kids aren't broken. They're not damaged forever. And it's not too late. And you've taken the most important step, which is being here with our National Organization of Parents of Blind Children. And so congratulations on working to get your kids on the right path. Now, Carlton already told you, I'm speaking to you today as a blind person, as a father, as a husband. And so I bring all of those experiences with you. Now, the ironic thing is, of course, we have three children, and the youngest is now two. And you spend a lot of time urging your kids to take that first step and then try to figure out how to stop them from taking steps after that, because it gets a little hectic. So for us, you know, five of us in a hotel room with a two-year-old, we can't find everything because it's all over the place because of the two-year-old. And we are on a journey together, right? We're on a journey to get our children on a path for success. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today from my experience and about some of the things that we might do together in the National Federation of the Blind. We need our kids in that journey to learn how to take those next steps. And we need to teach them how to do it on their own. At first, we spend a lot of time learning about how to do it, but we need to be teaching our kids how to be prepared to determine for themselves what those next steps are. I like to say we need to teach our kids to be drivers in their own life rather than passengers. And that's because so often as blind kids, we're taught to be passengers in our own lives. We're taught to sit and wait. We're taught that someone else will take care of it. But that's not what we learn in the National Federation of the Blind. We know that we need our kids to have the chance to be drivers. And that means we need our kids to have the chance to fail. We need to give them opportunities that they might actually fail at. We can't protect them all the time. Now, when we're thinking about journeys, I think about a book called The Alchemist. I don't know if you've read it, but in The Alchemist, we're presented with a journey. And one of the things that we learn in this book is that when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you achieve it. And I love that quote because that's really what happens in the National Federation of the Blind. When you want something, when you dream of something as a blind person, all of the Federation conspires to help you achieve it in so many ways. One example from my life, I grew up and I was the only blind person I knew. Actually, I didn't know I was a blind person. I knew that I just couldn't see so well. But I never knew a blind person. And I have glaucoma, so I've lost vision all my life, and I learned to fake it. I like to say I learned to fake it to make it. And in case any of you might be fooled, your kids can be really great at faking it. They can fake you out in an instant. I created all sorts of skills, tools, techniques to fake it. I could pretend I saw stuff in such a convincing way that no one would question it. I figured out techniques to figure out what bathroom was which by just hanging around, you know, rather than sort of coming up to it with confidence. I faked it. And there was never a mention of Braille for me because I was good at faking it. I hid out in the back of the room, and there weren't the brightest folks in the back of the room. No offense to those in the back today, but they weren't the sharpest folks, but I could fake it back there. I sort of blended in, and once in a while I'd get somebody to fill out a worksheet for me or something, but I faked it. And in eighth grade science class, for example, I sat in the back and played a lot of table football. You fold up a piece of paper into a triangle and you flick it back and forth, and we did this for hours. And I did that in science class because the first thing you were supposed to do in every science class was go up to the board or copy stuff off the board. And there was no way I was going to go up to the board and copy stuff off the board. There's no way I was going to out myself like that. So I hid in the back. And I was permitted to fake it. When I was a senior in high school, though, I was offered the opportunity to learn Braille if I wanted to learn it. I was a senior in high school. Now, why would I want to learn it? I had worked hard to have two study halls. And why would I give one up for that? No one ever told me. No one ever told me that there was something more to want. And then in 1996, I met the National Federation of the Blind. I was at a loss about what my next step was. And when I met the Federation, that's when I first learned that it was really the next step. And being guided in that next step that I needed to take, that I needed a group of people around me that had faith in my capacity as a blind person to trust me, to help me do it, and then to help me begin planning what my journey would be. But it has always been about the next step. In fact, the next step is really the most important step we can take. If any of you have read the book, Getting Things Done, you know that it's the next action you need to take that's the most important thing to check off on your to-do list. So what are some of those steps, and how can we help our kids get there? Well, let me just present a few before I have to depart today. The first most important step, I think, is believing in our capacity as blind people. And for you parents who aren't blind, your own internalizing the belief that your blind children are not broken-sighted children, that they have capacity to offer, you're gaining that deep belief that they can achieve anything that they put their mind to. It starts pretty early that we present blind kids with the opposite, right? We're sorry you have to learn Braille. It'll be really hard, but you can do it. And when the 5-year-old blind boy says, I want to be a firefighter someday. I'm sorry, Johnny. You know, a blind person can't do that. Even though we know that tomorrow, Johnny's going to want to be a doctor or an astronaut. We need to be cultivating those dreams because I can tell you from personal experience, we don't know what the limit is for us. We don't know what the limit is for us. And that's why we come to the National Federation of the Blind to share this experience, because this is where we learn from each other that there are no limits. And we do that with each other, with faith in each other. Dr. Maurer used that word. And you know, Martin Luther King had a great quote about faith that I think speaks to the Federation and the belief we have in each other. Martin Luther King said, faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. Taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. I never thought for myself that driving was a possibility. I had totally erased that from the memory banks of things that would be possible for blind people to do. Until my mentor, Mark Maurer, said, why is it that we say blind people can't drive? Don't we have capacity? Don't we have the ability to think and react? And can't we build technologies that would give us information that would allow us to do that? I thought, okay, that's a good gimmick. Get some people interested in us. And then the guys from Virginia Tech called and said, you know, we want to work on this idea you have about a blind person driving a car. And so I had to go sell it to the guys at Virginia Tech. And they said, you know what we can do? We build cars that blind people can drive. We could just sort of put you in the back seat and push a button and be done. But wait a minute. That's not what I've heard from blind people who've done that. We want to be able to drive the car. You know, we want to be able to sit in the driver's seat and make the decisions. We want to be able to crash that car.
That's right.
They said, what? We don't want to crash it, but we want to have it be so real that if we crashed it, it would be because we made the wrong decision. We hope to learn enough not to do that. But if we don't have the opportunity to fail, what good is it? And that's when I began to learn to be a driver in my own life. Because of the belief that the Federation has in blind people. And as parents, we need to internalize that faith that we have in each other in the Federation. We need to get to know our blind brothers and sisters. We need to talk to them. How do they do things? Dream with them. My kid wants to do this. How do you think he can do it? Because not all the answers are obvious. And sometimes we're talking about things that no blind person has thought about doing. You know what really started to turn me around on our blind driver challenge was when we put a prototype in front of kids at our 2009 Youth Slam program, and they hadn't been told for decades that they couldn't drive. And so they said, hey, we got to work on, why don't we have this today? And can't we do this? And wouldn't it be great if the technology did this? See, they hadn't had the idea that I had that driving was off the list. They hadn't been told that for years on end. They hadn't convinced themselves of it. The faith in the capacity of blind people is our next step. In fact, it's always our next step because we need to challenge our current assumptions about what the possibilities are. That's the way that we push each other forward in this organization. Okay, next steps, skills. Well, we do need some real skills, right? And we need our kids to learn those skills. And we need our kids to have the opportunity to practice those skills. Now, for our kids, they don't have to be perfect cane travelers, whatever that is. Actually, I'm not sure what that is. But our kids, they're approximating all their skills, right? My two-year-old is kind of learning to use a spoon by making a big mess. But she's learning to use a spoon by doing it. And our kids are approximating those skills. And it's important as parents that we give them those opportunities to use those skills, to practice those skills, to get lost, to fail, and that we don't get in the way of those skills for our own convenience. Well, you know, we're really in a hurry. Why don't you just leave your cane here today? And I can tell you, my two daughters, who are 4 and 2, they have their little canes. And it is really tempting sometimes, especially when they've hidden the cane who knows where, to say, well, we'll just go, you know, down the block this time. Don't do it. We need our kids to practice those skills. And we need to be intentional about letting them practice those skills. And as parents, we need to learn some of those skills ourselves, so that we can help them understand. We need to start thinking about how to do things in non-visual ways. We need to think consciously about how to talk about things in terms of description, not look over there or what you can see is this. We need to point out things to our kids. And that means some of you need to make a conscious decision to do that because you don't think non-visually all of the time. I was sitting next to my four-year-old on the airplane on the way here, and of course, you know, when you get on the airplane, hot weather like this, they tell you to pull the shades down to keep the plane cool. And part of it's that she's four, and maybe part of it's that she couldn't look out the window, but she kept saying, well, are we flying yet? I tell her no. And we talked about some of the ways she could tell if we were flying. Maybe they're not obvious to some of you. Well, the first thing is you can feel all the bumps in the runway as you're taxiing toward the runway area, and the sound of the engine is different than when you're starting to accelerate for takeoff. And then, of course, the tilt of the plane, and there's other obvious things. But that was an opportunity to talk about that. Now, as a parent, it had never occurred to me to be intentional about it. I mean, I've been flying. I fly all the time. It seems like I'm in airplanes more than not. So it's obvious to me. But I had to make a conscious decision to think about what is it about flying that helps me know when I'm in the air. Now, I've been in a zero-G airplane because of the National Federation of the Blind, so describing how it is in zero gravity is even more difficult. But I'll talk to you about that some other time. Now, as parents, we also have other skills we need to develop, and some of them are very hard. We need to develop advocacy skills, and we need to do that for our children. And that is very difficult, right? Because when it's our kids, it is emotionally involved. And that really brings me to the third step of why we need the network. And I bring that up because my wife Melissa and I were both blind. We've been advocates for a long time, and our daughter now is entering pre-K in the Baltimore City Public Schools. And a lot of people say, God, can you imagine being in an IEP meeting with Mark and Melissa Riccobono? But I want to tell you that when it's your kid, it is different. And it is very hard to operate as an advocate because your first reaction when they say something is to strangle them because it's your kid they're talking about. And so you need to develop the advocacy skills, but that's why one of the steps and why you're here is to develop that social network. You know, you may be a great advocate, but you still need other advocates with you because sometimes it's too emotional for you, and you need to bring in someone that's going to keep it calm and that's going to keep it straight. And the National Federation of the Blind is the greatest network that we have in this country, really. And when you go on any journey, what's the first thing you do? You start planning your trip. You go on TripAdvisor or some other site, and you figure out, what have other people said about the Rosen Center or about going to Orlando? Well, the Federation is just like that. If you want to find a blind person that's done something, or if you want to find a parent that's dealt with a particular situation, or if you need to find someone that's willing to come knock a school district upside the head, you can find them here in the Federation. Just look, just ask. And because you say, I'm a member of the National Federation of the Blind, they will help you. That's all you have to say, because that's what we do for each other. And this network will create opportunities for you. And it starts here today. And it starts here by building that network. And then the thing I want you to do that's very important for the next step is contribute to it. If you want to put point number four, it's leave a breadcrumb for yourself. If you're going to take the next step, you want to put a marker down so you know what you did, so you can evaluate, did it work or not? And again, don't beat yourself up when it doesn't work. But you also want to gather a little wisdom so you can share it with other people in the network. That's what we call giving back. And it is a very important step in what we do in the National Federation of the Blind, because that's how we create meaningful change with each other. We take next steps and we share that knowledge with other people freely. Because we're going to encounter barriers in many of our next steps, and we need to tell the people behind us what we did right, and what we did wrong, to help them do it right next time. because that's how we've gotten to where we are today. That's how blind people in this country have made such tremendous progress, because we've shared with faith and love with each other on our journey together. And what are some of the things we've done together? Well, we got the law changed to make Braille the default in IDEA. Great move, right? Hasn't exactly worked as we wanted, so we put a marker down. One of the things that hasn't worked is that we figured out that one of the problems is actually how the kids are assessed, that the assessment is the key. So we created the only research-based assessment for reading media, and we now have that. What else do we need to do? What else do we need to change from our experience? Well, we still know that a lot of kids aren't getting Braille, so there's a lot of work to do in changing the service delivery system in this country and creating innovation. We got into the law a requirement that electronic files be provided for books in the K-12 system. This is the National Instructional Materials Access Standard. We would throw it out today if we were going to create it. Because we know today that what we want is the same book at the same time, at the same price as everybody else. And so now we're trying to figure out from our experience how we get mainstream access for our kids. And we've created the Teach Act, which is going to create standards in higher education, and those standards will be a force multiplier, a driver for K-12 to create standards to better facilitate our kids getting books. It's not that the steps we took before were wrong. They were right at the time. But we've continued to share from our experience, and we continue to move forward together because that's the next step we need to take together. And the wonderful thing about the National Federation of the Blind is we get to decide what we do. This is our organization. It's yours and it's mine. And we need to take very seriously the responsibility of moving it forward, because that's going to make a difference in the lives of blind people. In fact, that, for the last almost 75 years, is the thing that has made a difference in the lives of blind people. And if we're not moving forward, we're not living the lives we want to live. So, next steps. Well, one of the next steps for me, because our president has said he's not running for office, is I'm going to seek the office of the president of the National Federation of the Blind. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your support. Why am I doing it? Well, I can't think of anything more meaningful to do in this world than creating opportunities for our blind kids. In fact, these kids are going to teach us. They're going to be flying airplanes, and they're going to be astronauts, and they're going to do things that we're going to look at and say, we never imagined that was possible. But that will only be true if we put our imagination, our energy, and our faith into the effort. And that is our next step. That's what we need to do. And I'm going to need your help in doing that. So one of the things I want you to know today as a next step is that you are not alone in your journey. The National Federation of the Blind is with you, and I am with you. And I make my personal commitment that if I can do something to help you on your journey to take that next step, I will do it. I will also challenge you to contribute to what we can do together. And that brings to mind a poem that I think expresses the faith that we have in each other and the challenge that we put to each other to take the next step. This poem is called Come to the Edge. It's by Christopher Loge, And it goes like this. I think you should think about it in terms of yourself and your kids and where we want to go with this federation. Come to the edge. We might fall. Come to the edge. It's too high. Come to the edge. And they came. And we pushed. And they flew. Together with love, hope, and determination, we will transform dreams into reality. Take that next step. Thank you very much.